pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Hour number two underway, 7 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate you listening. So, look, come on the program. Alabama State Senate President Pro Tem Greg Reed, yesterday's legislative session for 2021 wrapping up. We'll get a recap from him. And then later in the program, you're going to want to stick around for State Representative Shane Stringer, obviously the center of the controversy right now between the Mobile County Sheriff and himself, terminated for support of constitutional carry. Kind of a really bizarre set of circumstances there. But we'll get into that more as the show unfolds, so please stay tuned. Joining us now, it's my pleasure to introduce, from Mississippi, just across the state line, over Biloxi, Gulfport, just, you know, some, we'll get some listeners just over the state line there, Congressman Steve Palazzo on the line. Congressman, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jeff, thank you for having me. And yeah, it's great being neighbors. And, you know, we always enjoy when Alabamians come across to enjoy our beach and our hospitality. So come on over.
Well, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Go check it out. Certainly some cool places to go check out over there, if I may say so myself. Congressman, let's get right into it. I guess first up, the ever-present border situation, maybe not the front of the news right now. Obviously, some things going on abroad and some discussions about the domestic policy and infrastructure we'll maybe get into a little bit. But that still seems to be a problem. And you can't really tell from the media coverage if it's just a product of the news cycle or if it's still overwhelming the Biden administration.
Yeah, Jeff, I mean, the border crisis is just deja vu. It's like we've been here. It's the only problem now, it's worse than it's ever been with the number of, you know, gotaways, the people, you know, like, well, many of these people are coming straight to the points of entry and turning themselves in and trying to seek asylum into our country. But what the media is not talking about are the huge gaping holes where we haven't completed our fencing and barriers, where our border patrol agents are picking up trash after the illegal migrants. They're changing diapers. They're basically being Uber drivers, taking them around for appointments. And all the time, while this invasion, and it's an invasion, happening at our southern border, sex offenders are coming in by the hundreds, terrorists, drugs. In fact, in January alone, they apprehended 2,000 pounds of fentanyl that had crossed our border. That's enough to kill every single American. And that's what they catch. So what should scare the heck out of people, and what the administration is severely failing us on, is the things that we don't know are coming across our country. How many terrorists, how much drugs, how much human tracking and sex offenders are truly making its way into our country. That number is unknown, but I can tell you it's tremendous.
Yeah, and but it does, you know, all these other products that come out of this. I think the reason Donald Trump got elected way back in 2016, let's say way back, it doesn't seem that long ago, was a dissatisfaction with Obama's handling the border. How much do you think that, you know, all the images we're seeing on TV, people are seeing, it's going to play into this upcoming election cycle where Republicans, I think, are expected to do well.
Yeah, and you know, I hate that we have to have a southern invasion at our border for us to win back seats in the House and possibly in the Senate. But Donald Trump came in with a simple message: let's make America great again. We're the greatest nation on earth, and we kind of have lost sight of that, and we slip, we become complacent. We become globalist, you know, we just want to, you know, just give away everything that Americans have worked so darn hard for, whether it's a piece of ground and on foreign soil, or the, you know, the Iranian nuclear arrangement, you know, the failed, let's say, the Iranian nuclear agreement. And the American people were just fed up. You know, they saw 2 years of Democrats controlling the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and they crammed, you know, you know, Obamacare down our throats, Dodd-Frank's, which destroyed so many small community and rural banks, and they tried to push cap and tax, and the American people woke up really quick. Now, of course, this was 2010, the first time the Democrats absolutely abused their power, and sadly, they're doing it again. It's almost deja vu for that too. You know, they have this sickness for power, and they want to transform and change America. And Schumer said it. I've got big, bold plans to transform America. But it's really an absolute power grab and taking away our freedoms and liberties and putting them in the hand of a small group of politicians. And so I think people are wide awake to what's happening. And it's going to be reflected in the polls in 2022.
Yeah, and it's always some buyer's remorse in those midterms, it seems. Talk about a little bit about your body right now. You know, the Democrats under Nancy Pelosi's leadership, they still seem to be kind of this messaging bill mode. I don't know how serious this infrastructure proposal is. It may be serious in that Democrats would like to see it passed, but how realistic are they about passage? How realistic is the Biden administration about it? But if you're watching from afar, it seems like there are some Republicans in the upper chamber there in the Senate that are warming up to the idea of some kind of infrastructure bill. Do you get a sense of any movement on that, particularly with the way the Democrats are acting right now?
You know, that's a great question. Well, there's no doubt we need infrastructure. America's economy, our national security, you know, job creation, GDP, everything you can think about. We need infrastructure. I mean, we got bridges crumbling that are stopping barge traffic going up the Mississippi River. You know, the Colonial Pipeline is just a good example of why, you know, the president should have never shut down Keystone, because, you know, America is stronger and strongest when we're energy independent, which, of course, that energy independence, along with a great president, helped achieve a historic peace agreement in the Middle East. But listen, I would love to see a true infrastructure package. You know, the one that they tossed out there last time is almost like the CARES Act. It's like only 6-10% of the trillions of dollars were going for targeted COVID relief. The rest was union payouts, teacher unions, you name it, labor unions, green, you know, little Green New Deal stuff here and there. Look, roads, bridges, ports, dredging, you name it. I mean, if we're going to look at a real bipartisan infrastructure act, 90% of the infrastructure has to be bricks and mortar. It has to be real stuff, not just progressive feel-good policies and giveaways. But the president, it took him 130 days to meet with, Republican leadership. He's shown that, you know, his promises of uniting America and working across the aisle were just campaign promises or political rhetoric. He's proven that's not to be true. And, you know, I think he'll do just like he did with that last COVID package. If he doesn't get his way or his handlers don't get their way, then they're just going to take up their marbles and go play their own game, and which is bad, because when we truly achieve bipartisanship in Congress, like I'm talking 400 votes. I'm not just talking like one or two Republicans voting with all the Democrats or one or two Democrats voting with all the Republicans. But when we put numbers up in the 400 to upper 300s, you know, it shows that we're putting something out there that's good for the majority of all Americans.
Well, it seems like this is what's going on. You go out, you conduct a poll, and you say, what do you think of infrastructure? Or, yeah, I'm for fixing our crumbling infrastructure and bridges. Well, what do you think about making the wealthiest of the wealthy corporations or whatever pay for it? Well, yeah, absolutely. And then to do that, it's like a backdoor way of passing a bunch of social programs that are going to get labeled infrastructure. And raising taxes, that it's not really truly in a traditional sense what we think of as infrastructure in this country.
Yeah, and you know, go after those evil corporations, right? The ones that actually create jobs and opportunity and allow so many Americans to pursue the American dream. And, you know, corporations, you know, the big corporations, I used to, like, people will attack them and, like, but you got to look, small businesses depend upon those corporations because that's where the bulk of the workers come from. So whether you have a restaurant, a hair salon, a tattoo parlor, I don't know. But, you know, you usually have one of these jobs at a major corporation, and then you go out and spend your money. So it's a huge symbiotic relationship. But that they do not, it is a socialist giveaway. And the infrastructure, you know, increase in taxes, increase in regulations, you know, we're just going to push these companies back overseas after Trump and the Republicans in Congress. We worked so hard on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and it was a fair bill. And we've seen the impact of that, companies coming back, bringing back their profits, expanding, creating new jobs. Corporations are doing well. Small businesses are doing well. Individuals and families were doing phenomenal. Record economy. If you were, you know, regardless, if you wanted to work, there was a job out there for you. And minority participation was the greatest under President Trump than any other president in the history of the United States. So, again, if we really want to get our economy going, we need to keep taxes. We don't need to open up the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. Keep the taxes. That makes us competitive around the world, and it puts more money back in the pockets of, you know, hardworking Americans. You stay away from the regulations and actually, you know, inject what little national treasure we have left into a pure infrastructure package, because I think it would pay dividends, not just in job creation, but setting us up to continue to be the global leader when it comes to exports and things of that nature.
Joined by Congressman Stephen Palazzo of Mississippi's 4th Congressional District here on the program. Congressman, the all of this stimulus dumped into the economy, in addition to some supply issues, the price of gas is going up. But I think there's something else kind of going on there. It seems that we are going through some inflationary times. The amount of, like I said, stimulus put into the economy is having a direct impact. Where do you think that this is a short term thing? Are you concerned about maybe more long term implications? It's hard to know, but it does. I mean, I was a wee little child during the Carter years, but it does look a little bit. It does harken back to that time in America.
Yeah, well, I hope it's just a blip, Jeff, a blip on a big radar. But when you look at all of Biden's bad policies, they're horrific. You know, we got a border crisis. We got, you know, a fighting between Israel and Hamas, you know, erasing the Keystone XL pipeline, destroyed, you know, tens of thousands of jobs. He kept our country closed and for no reason. And you know, people aren't going to go back to work. Now, in Mississippi and Alabama, like, we don't sit at home. But, you know, if you encourage people to stay at home and you do the supplemental unemployment, you know, there's some people out there that are going to say, well, why work if I can get paid? You know, so it's just all the policies and incentives, plus the $30 trillion in debt. The stimulus is just small amounts of money. But I think, you know, Mississippi's economy, Alabama, Florida, I mean, we were doing good because we had good leadership. We had good leadership, not just in Congress, but we have good leadership in the governor's mansions and in the state legislatures. And that allowed us not to be harmed as much as other states on the, you know, the West Coast and East Coast. And the only thing that has kept them, from what I've seen on some of their bottom lines, was the massive amount of money that the Biden administration has sent failed states like New York and California. But I hope this isn't a thing, you know, it's going to be a long-term effect. But I always tell people, I mean, you know, make sure you got a rainy day fund set up. Make sure you become more self-sufficient. If COVID taught us anything, you can't really depend on the government. You got to be prepared and take care of yourself and take care of your families. But we just got to get back to the policies that made, again, one of the hottest economies in the history of our nation. That's less taxes, less regulations, and great leadership. And I think we're only going to see that through the election cycles in 2022 and 2024.
Congressman, you've been very generous with your time. We always appreciate having you on, and let's get you on again real soon.
Well, listen, Jeff, I appreciate it, and I'm pretty sure snapper season is, if it's not here, it's going to be here, and that's one thing I know Alabama and Mississippi really enjoy. I'm just glad the Biden administration didn't take it away from it.
Yeah, you and me
but
both.
Don't,
you
but,
and me both.
But they will try.
Congressman, thanks for joining us. Congressman Steve Palazzo on the line there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Believers, learn that happiness on earth ain't just for